for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 3rd, 2011. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Who Do You Judge God to Be?
The Lord says, I will honor you when you honor me with your praises. When you honor me with your praises, and I honor you with my presence. Never forget that when you come together, that you come to praise and to glorify and to worship me. Let that be the focus, so that the word may come into your hearts and may dwell in you richly, and that you will learn from me. You will learn the things that the Spirit would say unto you. I know that this begins in the flesh, but I would take it to a higher realm. You've not arrived yet, so don't think it's going to be like it's always been. Because I am doing a new work in the earth. I'm doing a new work in you. I'm doing a new work in this place. Do not be amazed at what I'm going to do, because I, the Lord, am able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can think or ask. So do not be afraid to ask me, because I already know what it's going to be. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you. I will guide you. Every place that your foot will tread, I will go before you. I have been there already. And I will bless you. I will honor you. I will be with you. But you must honor me with your life. You must honor me with your praise and with your worship. And I will dwell in your presence, saith the Lord.
Carla Batard from Jasper, Texas, is here today with her daughter and granddaughter. And her husband will be flying in while she's still preaching,
I guess. He's in the air.
He's in the air. Lord, bless him and protect him.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And Carla has agreed to bring the word of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
So we would like you to welcome her. And we're happy that she arrived early.
But you know, the Lord is never caught without something to say.
Amen.
He has much, much, much to say. And he has much to say to all of us. I love the song, Change My Heart, O God, Make It Ever True. Change My Heart, O God, May I Be Like You. That could have been the theme song for what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to start with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. I'm not going to read that whole chapter. I'm not even going to read all around it. It speaks for itself. It says, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So, not very long ago, I was pondering on this scripture, and the Lord showed me something about the judgment. Not so much his judgment toward the church, but judgment begins at the house of God. And the judgment is how we judge God. How are we judging God? The word judgment means a decision, plain and simple. You make a decision when you make a judgment for something. It's for or against. Webster says, to decide as a judge. So as we read God's Word and hear God's Word and meditate on God's Word, what we do with that Word determines how we have judged that Word. Serious. That was a very serious thing to me. Okay? Not only... So what do I mean by that? As time progresses and the pressure is upon us, and believe me, the pressure is upon us, and we are going to see more pressure. This is not a doom and gloom message. This is going to be an uplifting, encouraging, exhorting message because of who we are. So our behavior or our response to the Word will reveal to the world who we are supposed to be a witness to if we really believe God is who He says He is and if His Word is true. Have we made a decision that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do? I made that decision very early in my walk with God because He challenged me with something. And I liked what I read in the Word, and I stopped and out loud I said, "Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful if that's the way it really was?" And God said, "What do you mean? If this is my Word, and you're either going to believe it or you're not. And you can't believe that scripture over there that you like so much and not believe this one too." Now that was a challenge. I mean, He put me on the spot. I had a decision to make. I had to judge what I had just read. And so a little tiny newborn again baby Christian, I said, "Okay, Lord, if Your Word says it, I will believe it. And not only will I believe it, but I will do it." Because see, the first book of the Bible I read when I was saved was James. See, I didn't get saved in the church, so I had nobody to tell me, "You should read the book of John, and you should read," you know. God directed me where He wanted me to start. James is a little book. I didn't like to read, actually. So, see, God knows us. If He had said, you know, read the book of whatever, oh, goodness, yeah, Psalms, it would be like, I'd probably get to about the 13th chapter and say, "Okay, let's... That's a lot of reading." Even Psalm 119 is a challenge. So I made that decision. And I really haven't given that a whole lot of thought, although I've questioned, why is it that I am the way I am? And He has kind of let me know it's because you made a decision to believe and to do. We can't get past that doing. Look at James chapter 3, since we brought James up. This is going to be our how we judge God and His Word, the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We are the house of God. So the judgment of God begins with us and works outward. Okay, so look at 3:17 through 20. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now what kind of works is He talking about? He's not talking about, this is part of it, but this is not what He's talking about right here. Going and fixing your neighbor's screen door. Or helping somebody fix their flat. These are not the works He's talking about. Once you come into Jesus Christ, you will do those things automatically. You don't have to do that to prove who you are. You do it because of who you are. And because whose you are. Okay, so what we're going to begin to see is a judgment beginning at the house of God that when these times of pressure come, our response to that is going to let people know what we really believe. Because when pressure comes, if we crumble, if we fall apart, if we hide in fear, if we have a nervous breakdown, if we have a heart attack, if we, all these things that can happen when sudden pressure comes, that's going to be a witness to the world. That's when your faith is called for a working. Working your faith. And we are entering those days. You know, we've been kind of on a flotation, like a float. When you go to the lake, you blow up that thing and you lay on it and you just float and it's wonderful and there's no cares. And the church has really been in that for a long time. But it's time to wake up. The time is now, like no other time before. Okay? Everything, you can take comfort in this. Every single thing that is happening in our world right now is happening right on schedule. Right on schedule. This book, the Word of God, from the end to the beginning, God wrote it. It is written. It is written that these times will come. So it's no shock when these things start happening. Can you believe it? La, la, la. Yes. Have you read the book? It's all in there. Every bit. Maybe not to the specific circumstance, but it's all in there. And that's the time that we are living in. Because as it is written, so shall it be. We're not going to change what God has said. We're living in the greatest of times. Do y'all believe that? Part of that is because the things that we have been reading for years and years, we are now seeing. That's a great time to be living. Why? Because it is our time to shine. The children of light, it is time to shine. Let your light so shine. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Ronnie, would you bring me my water, please?
Sure.
I forgot to grab it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you very much. Now the Spirit, verse 1. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I can stop right there. We're in those days.
Amen.
We are in those days. Now, that word expressly, I'll just read the definition into it the way I... this is like Carla's amplified version of the scripture. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks outspokenly and distinctly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, the belief in God, the belief in Jesus, the belief in His Word, giving heed, paying attention to, and applying oneself to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, when I look at that scripture, I mean, I did a teaching on seducing spirits some years ago, here, if you want to hear it, and this is what God showed me about seducing spirits. It's not departing from the faith that will cause you to give heed to seducing spirits. It's not departing from the faith that will cause you to give heed to seducing spirits. But rather, giving heed to seducing spirits will cause you to depart from the faith and follow after those seducing spirits. We have lying signs and wonders that are flooding into the church and doctrines of demons flooding in, making themselves comfortable in behind the pulpits of churches and even in the pews. And that is something that we, as God's children, need to really pray for keen discernment because of these times. Judgments are being executed. Judgments of God's Word. Well, no, not exactly. We're just gonna put this doctrine in there. It's not what the Word says, but they'll put it in there. And if we're sitting and listening and eating what they are feeding, and we do not know the Word of God for ourselves, we can be easily sucked into these things. God doesn't want that for us. We know what God says in His Word. But the same is being done in the church today as Adam and Eve did when the serpent came and said, "Is that really what God said?" And they made a judgment. And they judged that, well, maybe God didn't actually mean that. And the rest is history. We're here today because of that decision and that judgment that they judged God and His Word when that seducing spirit came to them. So we must judge everything we hear or compare what we hear to the Word of God. And if it deviates from that, from what God says, we must cast our vote for God and for God's Word. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, casting down imaginations and everything and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the truth of God and His Word. So if we don't know the truth of God's Word and adhere to it, we will believe the lies of the devil and the world. Truth is not based on popular opinion. There are a lot of popular opinions floating around in the church today that that those who are not strong in the Lord, in the Word, are following after. Like the Pied Piper. They pipe the music and everybody dances and everybody is being led right off the cliff without knowing it. So it is our time to shine. Now, I want to give you the other part, the part that I want us to know. See, that impressed me. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. Do we really know what we're saying when we sing that song? May I be like You. He loves that song because He does want us to be like Him. The greatest form of worship, even though we sing and worship God in our praises, the greatest form of worship is to live a holy life before God. On a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. Now we're going way back. Genesis chapter 1. Because the body of Christ, the house of God, the church, has overlooked some very important things that God has said to us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. After God had everything in place, now He says in 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That includes everything. Animals, weather happens on the earth. He says, and over all the earth. That's pretty awesome. To have dominion, that word means to rule and reign over. It means to bring into subjection. We don't really understand that. I was a bit angered by something that happened in my family recently. My brother and his wife, who are born again, spirit-filled Christians, go to a big, lively church and love the Lord. My brother teaches in the church. My sister-in-law loves to work with the children. And they were taking a business trip because my sister-in-law owns an insurance agency, and they were having some kind of a business get-together in Bermuda. And they were flying out of Houston and so went to spend the night with their daughter who lives nearby so they could get to the airport without having to drive all night because we're about 3.5 hours away from the airport. Well, they went to eat at Carrabba's before, didn't have anything to do with Carrabba's. Let me make that clear. I don't want to give a bad name. Doesn't matter where they would have gone because there's no place in the world that is not touched by evil. We are in this world. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, this is what we're getting to. He's showing us something here that is helping us to overcome those things that happen in the world. So what happened was, they were going to this business trip, and then they were going to stay on for a vacation. And they stopped to eat before they went to the airport. Now, my brother is semi-retired from the bank that he's worked at for 30 years. He's been the president there, and they gave him a truck, really nice. I'm not familiar with highfalutin cars and trucks, but it's a platinum edition of the Ford truck. Nice, nice truck. Beautiful truck. Looks like every other truck to me, but anyway, it's a nice truck. And they had all of their luggage in the back seat. It's the front seat, and it has a back seat. They had all their luggage in there. Well, while they were eating, somebody broke into their truck. Now, they didn't even know the truck had been broken into. They didn't do any damage to the truck. Now, and I will tell y'all this just as a precaution. You know these little key things that you walk away and lock your car? Don't use that anymore. Lock your car on the door before you get out. Now, his had a code thing. I don't know how he locked it, but they didn't fool with any of that. They had one of those professional things that you just stick and remove the whole lock. Pulled the lock out of the door, got in, took all their luggage, closed the door, put the lock back in. They didn't know anything was askew till they left the restaurant. They had the luggage because they had put it in the truck, gone to eat, drove straight from there to the airport, and got out to get their luggage. And my brother said, "What'd you do with the luggage?" She said, "What do you mean, what did I do with the luggage?" She said, "There's no luggage in here." And that's how they discovered that they had been robbed. So my mother is telling me this, and it just really made me angry. So what did they do? They still had to catch their plane. They went to Walmart and bought a six-pack of underwear and a cheap suitcase, and off to Bermuda they went. They had to buy everything that they needed. I mean, they had after-five clothes. They had, my brother said, all total, probably about $5,000. Her State Farm computer was in there with everybody's stuff in it. Okay, so here we are. And I'm one of her customers. So all of our information, where you live, what kind of cars you drive, everything is on there. I mean, it's like a yellow pages for the thief. Thieves. That's not proper. But anyway, so when I heard about that, I told my mother and later my brother, I said, "You know, Mama, there is no excuse in any of our stuff," and I say that as from a believer standpoint, a child of God, a Christian, and I'm not saying things won't happen to us, but when you learn something, you hear it, and you don't do it. The other thing James says is when you're a hearer only, you deceive yourself. You hear a good message, you receive it, you celebrate it, you go out and live like you always did. And you don't appropriate the things that God is teaching, then you're at the mercy of the kingdom of darkness. So see, because God taught me a long time ago that I can employ the angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they now all given to minister for those who shall receive salvation?" That's us, y'all. That's us. So the angels are given. And I told my mother, how long would it have taken them to say, "Okay, Lord, all our stuff is in here for this trip. Get out of the truck. I employ the mighty angels of God to come and stand around this truck so that no evil touches it." These are the things that we are going to have to begin to appropriate in this time. It's very powerful. The angels are, someone told me the other day that they had heard someone else say that they had a vision one time that they were getting dressed and in the mirror behind they could see these angels leaning against the wall. And she said, "What are y'all doing?" And they said, "Nothing. We're bored because y'all don't give us anything to do." I thought that was really cute because if we could see, let me tell you, if we could see in the spirit realm, there'd be some powerful prayer going out from the saints of God. Because if you walk out in that world and you see the demons that are in people. In people. It was never meant to be like that. And He has given us all we need for life and godliness. Life and godliness. Okay. I want to go back. Okay, I just said that. I was going to read it out of James where he says, if you be a hearer, no, I better look that up. James 1. God gave it to me. I better use it. James 1. 22-25. That is what I said, but I'm going to read it out of the Word, just in case y'all don't know it is out of the Word. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But to be a doer of it and not... The doing is the real test. That's where the judgment comes in. If I hear it and I don't do it, I judge that it's not true. And that judgment... that judgment is in the house of God. It must begin in the house of God. Because after all, we're the believers. Not only that, we will be judged by how we judge His Word. That's our judgment. That's strong. Look at John chapter 1. Now we're getting to John. I did eventually get to John after I got saved. John chapter 1. See, sometimes we read the Word and we're not really reading the Word. We're doing something with our eyes, but it's not getting here or here. It's sometimes it becomes a ritual. I'm going to start with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a pretty profound statement right there. Everything that was made, He made from things that didn't even exist. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness overcame it not. Now that's why we need to let our light so shine. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's so sad. That would almost be like you going to a family reunion and everybody just walked around and didn't even acknowledge your presence. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. See, we didn't just get a little piece of Jesus. We got the full, grown, glorified man of God. God in the flesh. That's who we have in us. He wants us to be aware of that because it's going to be important. It's important now, but it's going to be even more important in the days to come. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. See, now we're a spirit man. Our spirit man, when we were born again, our spirit man was birthed. Now we're two in one, actually. I am Carla the flesh woman, but I am also Carla the spirit woman, whom the full-grown man of Jesus resides. He doesn't just have a little part of my heart. He lives in me, lives in you. That's important to know. So now we are not only a flesh man walking around, but we are a spirit man walking around. And believe me, the demons see Jesus in you. They see. They tremble. We don't even know what they're trembling at. Lots of times we don't even acknowledge that there are such entities that we have to deal with. And it's not the person. That's what I love about deliverance. You can separate the demon from the person. That's how God can love us unconditionally. He separates our junk from who we are. And He loves us unconditionally. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Love the person, hate their demon. And do something about it. Okay? So, now we are this spirit. If so be, in verse 9, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we possess this life force in us. Green is a good color. To me, it's a lively color. God likes green. Have you taken a look at the earth? The grass is green. The trees are green. The stems are green. He likes green. In verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So see, death was working in us until we met Jesus. So there were things that were dying in us continually until we were born again. Now that Spirit of life, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, is in us, and it will even give life to those things that died. Resurrection life. That's why it says your youth is renewed as the eagle. It's an ongoing thing. It's like fire, like lightning. It energizes. It empowers. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we should be mortifying the deeds of our body. The ones that don't please Him. You know what mortify means? It means to make as dead. It means like amputated. Those things that do not please Him. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with, that we may also be glorified together. So there's going to be some suffering. Things that grieve you is a is a suffering. There were lots of things that grieved Jesus. He wanted to do many mighty miracles for his family in his own hometown, but couldn't because of their unbelief. That was grief to him. It grieves me too when there are those who will not receive. So we are joint heirs with Christ. You know what a joint heir is? Equal partners. Equal partners. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, we carry the glory, and it needs to be revealed. The glory. Let your light so shine. Let Jesus Christ live and move and have your being. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, a vessel for Him to continue to do His works through. Can you imagine if that revelation had begun in the early church and continued unto this day, what the world would look like? Better yet, what the church would look like, what the bride would look like. The glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, is that right? Yes. Waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, you know, the other day I decided to look that word up. Creature. In mine, it's a reference says creature, but they put in there creation, which changes things quite a bit. So I look up the word creature. Where did I put it? Oh yeah, down in my Bible. Okay. The word creature is through the idea of proprietorship of the manufacturer, as in the owner, the creator. So you could put God in that place. The originator. The one who creates or produces. That's what the word creation means. Or the word creature. So let's read it with that. For the earnest expectation of God. Wow. That changed that scripture a whole lot for me. God is the one who has the earnest expectation. He has been earnestly expecting for His vessels to allow the glory to manifest now. Then it says, for the creation, now they've changed creature to creation, and that makes sense, because for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, it was there that I got the revelation. You know, we knew Adam and Eve sinned, and so sin is in all the world. So we all were born sinners, separated from God. That's why we need a Savior. Doesn't matter how good you are. I don't care if you've never sinned a day in your life. You were born in sin. King David said, I was born in sin. I thought that meant his mother was loose. No. Everyone who was born after Adam and Eve fell was born in sin. And I don't care how good you are. Good is not the requirement. Righteousness is. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness. So I learned in this scripture that even the creation is waiting to be saved. Even the dirt was cursed. Everything that we see has been corrupted. And it's waiting to be saved, brought out of that bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Until now. See, that should have been over with a long time ago. But we're still in that place where we haven't fully understood that. You know that tornado that happened that wiped out that city and killed all those people? They groaned. But do you think that the earth was not groaning? The tornado, I'm not a tree hugger. Please understand, I'm not worshiping the creation more than the Creator. I'm making a point that even the earth is waiting for the sons of God to begin to operate in what He has given us. There were trees that were pulled up by their roots, and the ones that were left standing were stripped of every leaf. Can you hear it? I mean, it's groaning. The earth is groaning. He gave us dominion over all the earth. Weather happens in the earth. Those fires right now I don't know where they are. Is it Arizona, New Mexico? They had to close down a nuclear plant because of these fires. I'm going to tell you about one that I realized after God showed me this. A friend of mine whose parents lived in a trailer had a butane tank that was about as close as that first row of chairs to their trailer. And they had a fire, and the fire was moving toward the trailer. And she, naturally, was in a panic. Because if that fire got to that butane tank and that thing exploded, it would have been bad. So she called me. I was at the office with my husband, and she's in a panic. I could hardly understand what she was saying. There's a fire. And it's this close to the house, and it's already burning the paint off the tank. And I didn't even know how to pray. How do you pray for something like that? But out of my mouth, I said, Lord, I take dominion right now over the winds around that fire. I speak to the wind to change directions and burn back on itself and extinguish itself. Yes. Yeah. God said, and it shall be. So she called me over there later that day and showed me the fire line. This is when I called you. It didn't go any closer. I'm not bragging on myself. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Jesus did that. Spoke to the storm. Healed the sick. Raised the dead. Cleansed the lepers. Cast out demons. If He's in us, don't you think He's still wanting to do those things? But we have heard and not really been doers of the Word. Some of the Word we've been doers of. But He's still waiting for the manifestation of His children, the children of light. 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. See, when Paul said those things to the Romans, if they'd have picked it up, there wouldn't be as much groaning. Down where I live, I was traveling to Houston the other day, and every so often there's these big signs over the highway. Hurricane season is here. Be prepared. We've had a drought. Every church I pass, pray for rain. Why don't we take dominion over the elements? I did this at our house. Sometimes my family thinks I'm a little crazy, that I think I can do that. Well, it rained. It rained. Went fishing just for a little while one day. Wanted to catch a fish. I was throwing my bait and, you know, tugging it like you're supposed to make that worm dance and all this stuff. See that seduction? Come bite my worm. But I caught myself. Man, I wanted to catch a fish so bad, and not one that you have to throw back. I want a keeper. If I'm going to fish, I want a good fish. So Mike and I were in the boat. He thinks I'm a little nutty, but my kids were standing on the dock, and it hit me, and I said, I take dominion over the fish in this lake. Fish, I command you to bite my hook. I got a hit just like that. I mean, it surprised even me. But really, I mean, do I think that God or Jesus thinks I'm arrogant to do that? No, I don't. He gave us that. He gave us that. He gave us that. Why would we not use it? That's like having a big old lawnmower, a nice one, a wide thing in trying to cut the grass with a pair of scissors. Yourself. Under your own strength. I know it's not me, but I am fully persuaded that what He says is true.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed to use it. I don't feel like I'm trying to take God's glory. He said His glory is going to be in us.
Yes.
I don't have to take it. He is the glory.
Yes.
He is the light. He is the power. He is all of that. The manifestation means the appearing of, the uncovering, the unveiling, the revealing. The dictionary says it's a public demonstration of power and purpose. He's given us power, and He's given us purpose. And the manifestation of that is a public display. Okay? That reminded me of, Romans over a little bit further down in verse 29. Speaking of believers and of Jesus, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. The firstborn. See, we get born of Him, and now we're the second, third, fourth, fifth, the joint heir, equal partners with Him. The time is now. That is the purpose. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Let me find where I wrote the word, the image. The image. Well, I don't see it, but I know I wrote it. I'm just going to take the time and find it. Okay, where is it? Image. It means an exact replica. Here it is. Image, Strong's Concordance, from an unused root meaning to shade, like a phantom. That's in the Strong's Concordance. I didn't like that too much. I like phantom. But it means a representative figure. A representative figure. Webster, a reproduction or imitation of the form of a person or a thing. Likeness means to be like. Webster, the quality or state of being like. Like Jesus. I should have looked up the scripture. I don't know where it is, but it says Jesus didn't think that it was robbery to make Himself equal. And we shouldn't either. You don't have to steal something that was given to you. And He has given us that. I just totally didn't even stick to my notes. So. But anyway, this is what He wants us to know today. We are His sons. If we are led by the Spirit, that should be a real strong prayer. Lord, let me be led by Your Spirit. I present my body, not my soul and all that other stuff, but my body, a living sacrifice. When I realize that He took my place on the cross, His body is in heaven with Jesus. I mean, with His Father, God. And He now needs a body on the earth. He had to go so that He could send that same power to every one of us that He walked the earth with, so that we could carry on His works, establishing the kingdom in the earth. He's going to come back to rule and reign over a kingdom. That's what we should be establishing, is His kingdom here. I find that very exciting. If we can teach the next generation. Sometimes I try to share this with the older generation. They don't quite get it. My husband said, why do you think they can't get it? It's not that hard to understand. I said, well, you know, they're old. And they're tired. And they've made it this far with what they've got, and they're okay with that. That has to be the answer. Otherwise, I think they would grasp it and use it. But the next generation, our next generation, we can teach them these things. If we can teach them that if you are someplace in your, you have things, you can stand the angels of God around it to protect it, to keep the kingdom of darkness from having it. Satan is a thief. His purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is all about life, and life more abundantly. Life. Having your stuff ripped off is not life. And I'm not even, you know, talking about stuff. I could care less about stuff now. I wouldn't part with this. But all the rest of it, my relationship with God, my faith in Jesus Christ, and what He has given me, He has equipped me to overcome no matter what. And as time goes on, and the world gets crazier and crazier, the children of God, and even the world, I believe, because the demons can see Jesus in you. And I believe they're going to start putting a demand on the Jesus in you. I shared this with one of my Bible study groups recently. And the very next day, I was meeting a friend at the Chinese food restaurant to eat with her. And she was working. And so as soon as she ate, she had to leave. And I said, go ahead, I'll take care of all the rest of it. So went back to the table to put a tip. And when I was coming back to go out, to leave, I hadn't noticed them before, but they're at the table nearest the door were two women and a man in a wheelchair. And I was just, you know, on my way out, and I don't even know how that man grabbed me. It was almost supernatural, like his arm just stretched, because all of a sudden he had me by the forearm and was, he had apprehended me. And while, you know, I was like, I looked at him and said, do I know you? I didn't know him. It was a shock to me. You know, I'm used to that in our church setting, but not in the world, not by a total stranger just apprehending me. And I'm trying to figure out who these people are. Do I know these people? But the whole while, the woman says, well, honey, do you work in a medical facility? I said, no, ma'am. Do you work in a nursing home? I said, no, ma'am, I don't work. And well, I do, but it's not for an employer. I mean, he's my employer. I told my grandbaby, I work for God. Grammy works for God. She knows that. But so the woman is talking to me, but the whole while the man is trying to put my hand on top of his head. That was the strangest thing I had ever experienced. And so my flesh woman is talking to the ladies. I guess it was his, either his wife and his daughter or his daughter and her daughter. But I knew, you know, it was almost like, if I didn't know better, this man wants me to pray for him. And so I said to the lady, would you mind if I pray for him? And she said, oh, no, no, not at all. I said, what's the matter with him? She said, well, he had a stroke. Can't talk. But don't you know that he's in there wanting to get out? But that demon has him in a prison. And so I said, well, I'm just going to pray for you. My hand was on his head. He wouldn't let my hand go. And I bound and broke the power of the spirit of death. And I bind and break the power of strokes. I speak to your mind. I just went into my mode. Jesus, you know. And when I got done, I said, amen. He let go of my hand. And I said, thank you, and left. And I thought, I got in the car and I thought, wow, that was so weird for him to just grab me. But I thought it was interesting that I had just told the ladies the night before that people are going to start seeing the Jesus in you and putting a demand on the Jesus in you. So don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let Jesus do His thing. Now, I don't know if the man got any better. That's none of my business. I did what I was supposed to do. And Mike said, you did that right there in the middle of China Inn. That's where he grabbed me. Where else was I going to do it? That's where he was. But I'm telling you, we are entering those times. And Jesus in us is their solution many times. And so what a better way, I can't think of a better way to start this camp off than to realize who we are in Christ, Christ in us, and to just let Him have His way. What Jane said, I thought, oh, well, there it is. I could have said, we're all dismissed, we're out early today, because that's the message. Let Him have His way. Let us get out of the way. Let our flesh get out of the way. I believe that's what Paul said. I put my body under subjection. I say it like this now. Lord, today, I put my flesh man down. I put it under subjection to the spirit man in me. Do what you want to do. So, Father, with that, we thank You for Your word. Father, I pray that it will never be the same again as we read Your word. Not as tradition, not as a ceremony or even something that we promised ourselves or an oath we made to You, but Lord, to really see what You're saying to us in Your word and not to be hearers only, but also to be doers of Your word. I just release the spirit of truth, power, might, counsel, everything that Jesus is in us. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy and the discerning of spirits, that Your kingdom be established, that when You come back, there will be a kingdom for You to rule and reign over, and we, as Your willing subjects, can live eternally together. I praise You, Lord. I thank You. Let us be like Elisha. When Elijah dropped that mantle, he didn't waste any time. He grabbed it, ran over to the Jordan, and whacked it, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And it split open, and they passed over on dry ground. Was he being a show-off? No. Was Joshua, when he stood, it says, in the midst of Israel and said, "Sun, stand thou still," and the moon in the valley of wherever it was. And it happened. It happened. They weren't afraid to do those things that God told them. They received it. As many as received, gave He them, those who received the power to become the sons of God. That's us. So Lord, let us not judge You wrongly. Let us judge You, Your word to be true, You to be true, and You to be true to Your word. Let us be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.